I love the Lord. I love sport. And I love being a chaplain. I guess I'm in the right place for the next couple of days. Good start. But seriously, I love the Lord. I'm one of those fortunate guys that I was brought up in a Christian family. And I was about 8 years old when I remember being at a toy service and a guy preaching in the church. And something he said just struck a chord with me as an eight-year-old. And I went home and amongst my teddies in bed that night, prayed the kind of sinner's prayer that you understand as an eight-year-old. But it was at that point my heart was strangely warmed. Fantastic. And I've tried since then, with varying degrees of success, to put the Lord at the centre of my life, in the decisions I've made, in the way I've lived my life. I say varying degrees of success because none of us are perfect, are we? I've made some mistakes, many mistakes, but I've tried to love the Lord. I love sport as well. Really love sport. Love being involved in football, but all forms of sport. I'm totally English, all right? There's no Welsh in me at all. But I went to watch, and I think this is why you're doing so well, guys, in Wales. I went to the first Wales game in the Millennium Stadium and with my three sons, just because we love sport. In fact, and I'll show you the photos of this, it's a bit bizarre, but we took about a 3-foot-long leek with us to wave in the stadium. Yeah, I've got the photos to prove it. You've seen that, haven't you, guys?
Yeah,
it was good. It's the Welsh lucky leek. I love sport. I've got three boys, and I love watching them play sport. Two of them play football. One of them, I don't understand this, but he's a pole vaulter. I mean, who invented pole vault? Who said, I know what we'll do, we'll get a pole, and we'll try and jump really high over another pole, 6 metres up in the air. What's all that about? He loves it. And I love going along and watching them doing their sport. And I love being a chaplain. 15 years now, I've been a chaplain at Charlton. I love it. I love being around people. I love getting alongside people. I love the privilege of when someone is going through a bereavement, of being able to come alongside and help them in that journey, in those difficult times. Talking to a player who's coming towards the end of his career because of an injury, and being able to share something of the love of Jesus with that person. The privileges, you know, I've had at Charlton over the last 6 or 7 years of having pre-match prayers. Of praying with players and different members of staff on a match day before they go out into that cauldron that is the valley. I love it. And I guess as I shared some of those stories, most of us here are saying, yeah, I love it too. A few weeks ago, start of the season, I turned up pre-match. And as I walked in, the security said to me, Matt, the pass you've got now is no longer valid. You need to get a new pass match days. We'll let you in this time, but make sure for the next game on Tuesday, you've got the right pass. And make sure when you get the pass, you have the right number on it. Because we're getting a lot stricter now on who gets access into the tunnel before the game. If you've got anything less than a number 5, you're not allowed in the tunnel an hour before the game or an hour after the game. So you need a number 5 if you're going to be in and around the tunnel. So on Monday, I spoke to the club. I said, look, I need a new pass. I've been advised I need to get a number 5 if I can be around in the tunnel. No problem, they said. So there's my new pass. That's a picture of me. Doesn't look very much like me, but it is me. And I got a number 5. Hey, that's good, isn't it? So I can be in and around the tunnel on a match day. I can walk down the tunnel. I can be there 10 minutes before kickoff if I want to. Talking to the players. I get access everywhere. It's great, isn't it? I can walk into different rooms, walk into the boardroom if I want. Fantastic being a chaplain. And then I read these scriptures. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Here's another one, slightly out of context, but there's a reason I've put this up as well in bold. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces, depends how you translate this, basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. It's great having a number five. Scripture says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be sucked in to the world. We're going to be hearing in our next couple of sessions about the mentality of an athlete. And we're going to hopefully learn. Some of us here are athletes, have been athletes, and you'll get that already. For those of us not, it's going to be great insight into the world of being an athlete. We're going to hear about the mentality of those involved in sport as well. Again, some athletes, some just involved in that wonderful culture that is sport. Mentality means our way of thinking, our mental attitude. But my question, I know this is the inspire section of our conference, but I want to challenge this right at the start. What's the mentality of a chaplain? How do we think? To throw another scripture at you, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? As Christians, we've been given the mind of Christ. We can think in the way that Jesus thinks. But if I'm honest with you, and let's be honest all the way through our conference, there are times, in the same way that I've tried to live my life following the law, but haven't always got it right, I've got to be honest, there are times when perhaps my thinking isn't quite as Christ would have it. That's why we need to be transformed continually in a process of having our minds renewed. Paul Deo, who isn't with us this conference because he had another conference up in Yorkshire he had to be at with the Church of England. I don't think Paul was here anyway. I wasn't expecting him. Paul said, when we had a lower league chaplain's day, he said, what I've always liked about chaptaincy is he's from the off, he said, Church of England minister, he said, but not everybody always gets it in church, he said, but you guys get it. You get what it's about. And I think part of that, he's talking about the reality, the honesty of what being a Christian is about, of being a chaplain's about out there involved with people. But it's that honesty I want us to pick up on. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with God right at the start and be challenged by this. Have we or can we be seduced? It's a big word, I know, but it means to be drawn away from, in this context, thinking about Christ into thinking in a different way, thinking in the way of sport or the way of the world. We can be seduced, can't we, by the money, by the hyper-competitive nature of the sport, by the win of all costs, by being seen to be with the winners, by having a number five on your past. Steve doesn't know I'm going to do this, but I want to honour Steve and thank him for where we're going in this conference. About 20 months ago, some of us got together overnight, some of us from Sports Chaplaincy UK and some from Christians in Sport as well. And Steve, I suggest, very prophetically and very sensitively challenged us from the Word of God. He made us think about who are those that Jesus spends the bulk of his time with? Those on the margins of society. Those less valued than other parts of society. Now, don't get me wrong, Steve wasn't necessarily pointing the finger at those of us who are involved in professional football. I feel called to that. I know that's where God wants me to be. And I know the vast majority here are involved in football. That wasn't the point. But there is a corrective there, isn't there? Would Jesus spend all of his time with an industry that is pumping in £3.1 billion in the next TV deal? I don't even know how many noughts that is. Not being a hypocrite, Warren and I have got a phone call later this week, conference call, to try and get a small fraction of that money to come into chaplaincy. But there is a corrective there and a challenge there, isn't there, for us We can be seduced by it. We can just be drawn in. And Steve challenged us. What about those who have less money getting thrown at them? Shouldn't we be valuing those areas with our chaplaincy as well? As we've seen a growth in the women's game, it's fantastic that we're seeing a growth with chaplaincy there. It's great that we're going to be hearing from disability athletes. And I know you're not getting so much money chucked at you, but we value you and honour you, and it's such a privilege to have you here and to be serving you. Thank you for being with us, and it's a corrective to us, and it's the right corrective. So thank you, Steve. I was up at Manchester City 2 weeks ago. Can you go any higher at the moment than Manchester City in terms of wealth? I'm not going to ask anybody who supports Man City. I was up there with Pete Horlock, the chaplain, and we were at the new training complex. And if you come along to my session, this isn't a plug for it, but if you come along to my session, I'm going to show you a few photos from their training complex later on in the faith session. And I was with Pete, and we were there right in the hub of it, in the first team area. You have to take a passport to get in. I mean that literally. You have to take a passport to get in for ID. And we're in there amongst the hub of it all. And that morning, I've been looking at that second verse, Colossians 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. I said to Pete, and we started opening up this scripture there, and I know it's a different context, but I said, I don't know, but I sometimes feel that we can be taken captive. I said, is it just me? Be honest with me, Pete. Is it just me because I'm doing this full time, or do you ever feel this? You're going in one day a week. He said, no, absolutely, Matt. Now, don't misquote me or misunderstand Pete here and what we stand for in our code of practice about being present and going in regularly. But Pete said, and he's done a great job at Man City, all these qualifications. But Pete said, there are times, he said, when I choose not to go in to the training ground that week because I don't want to be seduced and caught up in it, because I'm just aware of the spiritual forces, the basic principles of this world. I really respect him for that. I'm not advocating we don't go in. You get my point, though, don't you? That sense of being honest about where we're at with things. So I have two suggestions, just as I come to a close, as we start our conference together. The first of them, you've heard everybody always says it, is we need to pray. Well, every Christian ministry, that's the key to everything, isn't it? We've just got to pray more and everything gets solved. However, we have been challenged as a group and as an organisation that we need to be praying more. I was really blessed when Warren said, let's have a day of prayer and fasting, which we had a couple of weeks ago. I don't recall, I might be wrong, but I've been involved for sort of 15 odd years, some of us longer than that. I don't recall calling all of sports chaplaincy to a day of prayer and fasting before. Thanks for that. I think the Lord wants us to do more of that. We met with Bishop Tony Porter, didn't we, a few months ago, Bishop of Sherwood, and we were talking about stuff, and he said, this is all I do. He said, when we're thinking about doing something new in sport, he said, I just gather people together and have a prayer meeting. Do you want to come along and pray? Before we get into the strategy and the planning and all of those kind of clever ways of doing it, let's just get together and pray. When we had the induction day yesterday, Warren said when he used to go into Bradford Bull, sometimes in the busyness, and we've all done it, I've done it, we're rushing around, we're fitting in our chaplaincy here, we're rushing into the club, and he said, suddenly I rush in, I think, hold on a minute, I haven't prayed. Literally turns around, walks back the other way, goes back to the car, and just had a word of prayer before going in. I'd encourage you guys to be people of prayer. Secondly, and I could now just say, and we need to read the Bible more. I once read that, you know, every preacher, it's just an excuse to tell people they need to pray and read the Bible more. So, of course we do. And that challenge that Steve gave us came from you looking at the scriptures with us. So I do believe that, but I didn't want to just be typical, because that isn't my way. I want to share something with you, and I think it will help. It links in with prayer as well. But the second thing, as well as praying at the start when we go in. A few years ago, in my own church, with my wife, we just found for about a six-month period, and again, it shows a lot about my churchmanship, so put this into your own sort of language, but we developed a ministry within the church where we found that people wanted to be set free of stuff. And we found we were praying with a lot of people over a period of time, I'll use the term, it's loaded, but, you know, a lot of kind of deliverance sort of ministry that was going on in the church at the time. And at the end of the day, you know, we felt quite sort of drained and battered with it. And it seemed to be week after week after week. And a very wise couple in the church came up to me one Sunday and they said, "Matt, just a bit of advice. We've been involved in this for quite a while. At the end of the day, just have what they called a spiritual shower." You know, when you go into battle sometimes, he said, or you see people going into battle and you come away and you know some of the wounds you've got and some of the cuts and some of the bruises. He said, but sometimes the things you're just not aware of, the stuff that's just stuck to you. Now take this, do whatever you want to with this theologically. I'm just saying, try it out. He said, but at the end of the day, he said, just go and have a spiritual shower. Just ask the Lord to come and wash you down of anything that might be sticking. I said, okay, I'm going to give that a go. So Helen and I used to do that every night after we'd been involved in any kind of session. But there was one particular occasion, we got into bed, and we just started arguing about stuff. Nothing really awful, but we were arguing, and we don't argue massively, my wife and I. We started arguing. I said, Helen, what's going on here? Why are we arguing? She said, we didn't have a spiritual shower, did we? We didn't just spend that 5 minutes just to pray and just let God just soak us again. And so we did, and things were better. That came back to me about 18 months ago in sports chaplaincy. The things that we're involved in, guys, at whatever level in terms of sport, is very front line. We're out there. There's stuff going on. There are spiritual forces, elemental spiritual forces, basic principles. Call it what you like. It can be very seductive. It can suck us in. And so I'm getting into the practice now of, on a regular basis, I shared it with Warren and said, Warren, we all need to be doing this. Just have a spiritual shower. Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. I don't understand everything that's going on. I just want to serve you in this place. I want to see the kingdom of God being advanced. So come and wash me down at the end of the day. Cleanse me of anything that's sticking to me so that I can serve you better. Right at the start of our conference, I just thought I'd invite us, before we move on, just to have a minute for our own reflection with the Lord. Close your eyes if you want to. If anything I've said strikes a chord, even if it's just one tiny bit, just let the Lord speak into that, into your hearts. If you want to confess anything to him, if you've been as proud as I was of having a number 5, just confess it to the Lord. And let him minister into that. If you want to talk to anybody over the conference, this is what it is about, being honest, isn't it? Please do that. But just for this minute, before we move on, let's be quiet before him.